That's just the God honest facts. But to the final point in which that Chad Finn wrote in his column is that one, he talked about the decision of trading Mookie Betts, but also he also talked about the rotation. And he, at least he's honest in this following quote. What needs to happen for the Red Sox to compete in the American League East? I mean, the sarcastic answer is obvious. They should reach out to the Dodgers and see if Betts and Price might be available. Those guys, now they could really help the cause. Sure. The serious response. First, we have to define contending. Is it winning the AL East for the fourth time in 5 years and the fifth time in the last eight? I can't see how it happens. The 84 win Red Sox finished third last year, 19 games behind the Yankees and 12 behind the Rays, with Betts having an excellent season, though not as good as his 2018 MVP performance, and Price making 22 starts. Even if Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, and JD Martinez all repeat outstanding seasons at the plate, and Andrew Benintendi plays to his ability, this offense, minus Mookie, probably won't be as productive as last year's 901-run juggernaut. And did we mention that the starting rotation is such a mess that Matt Young, Dana Kiker, excuse me if I botched the name, and Tom Bolton currently look like appealing candidates for the fifth spot? You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Reform Radio. I'm sorry. Wait. Okay. I'm going to add a little bit more meat to the bone in just a moment, but so those three duds, Matt Young, Dana Kiker, and Tom Bolton, they look like candidates for the fifth spot. And I'm supposed to believe that the Red Sox will contend more or less, not give up on the Red Sox season this season. Wow. Okay. So let me see if I could really have any reason to believe in which that I gotta tell you. I'm trying to find positives as to why I should believe. But I tell you one thing. He makes a good point. Chad Finn, he makes a good point. He points out, quote, there's a kind of a 1981 vibe to this Red Sox team in the sense that the departure of popular players, Betts now, Carlton Fix back then, Fred Lynn, Rick Burleson, and Butch Hobson, then has left a malaise over the fan base before the season even began. But I think that this is a better situation. Of course. Keep in mind that Carlton Fisk was a Hall of Famer. Is a Hall of Famer. And that you decided to let him leave the town and he ended up following his way over to Chicago. At the time, was just very much, it was just inconceivable. And Fred Lynn, he obviously ended up going to the LA Angels. About to call him the LA Angels, but back then they were called the California Angels. So, not necessarily sure of as to why I think that I should believe the Red Sox will actually contend in 2020. And reason why I shouldn't give up on this team this season. But there's a comparison that was made in which that the 1995 team was brought up. And there's a part of me that really hates comparisons. But in this case, there's also a part of me that's like, historical comparisons are good when they apply, but when they don't apply, it's a waste of time. He Chad Finn wrote, quote, "We're going to get to know a lot of the new players, sort of like with Dan Duquette's first Red Sox team post-strike in 1995. We may even end up liking some of them. That 1995 team, with all of its Archimedes Pozos, Rudy Pembertons, and Pat Mahomes, the father of that Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs, well, the dad anyway, did have a few keepers amid all the roster turnover. Tim Wakefield, yes, that Tim Wakefield, Rich Garces, and Troy O'Leary ended up being the surprise winner of the AL East." Yes, the Sox won the AL East in 95. The Yankees were the wild card team, the inaugural season of the wild card, 25 years later. But I just don't see, if you were to compare this team on paper right now with the likes of Tampa Bay and the Yankees, I got news for you. There really is not much of a comparison. I'm gonna make this short and quick. Why I really feel that you're selling false hope and dreams. Listen, you want to talk rotation? Fine. I'll give it to you right off the bat. Chris Sale, if healthy, Nathan Eovaldi, if healthy and consistent, and Eduardo Rodriguez, if he can repeat his performance from last year, maybe you may have something there. Bullpen? Okay. Tampa Bay. Rotation? Far and away better. Not even close. Blake Snell. Tyler Glasnow. And don't forget Charlie Morton. A formidable 1-2-3 punch. Bullpen? A bunch of interchangeable parts, but pretty good bullpen. And then, of course, your arch rival New York Yankees. Gerrit Cole. Masahiro Tanaka. J-Hap. Now, I know the loss of Luis Severino, it stings. Because he's actually due to go under the knife today for Tommy John. So he's done for the season. But bullpen? Killer bullpen. Killer with a capital K. K as in strikeouts. Zach Britton. Adam Ottavino. And even with the loss of Dellin Betances to the New York Mets, still got Aroldis Chapman in the bullpen. And then don't forget, you also got Chad Green, who is a perfect swingman for this team, both a starter and a reliever. So, with that being said, you still want to tell me that perhaps I shouldn't give up on this team this season? I hate to break it to you, but I have to disagree. I absolutely disagree. I don't have much reason for hope and much reason to believe that the Red Sox will in fact even be competitive, let alone, I mean, I'm sure they'll compete on some level, but a playoff team, I'm having a really hard time believing that. There were at least 3 or 4 teams I've put ahead of the Red Sox this season. One of them including, yes, the hated Houston Astros. I still put them ahead of the Red Sox this season. I really do. I really, really do. Glad you're able to tune in this morning. And for those that are making their way to work or listening in the car radio, greatly appreciate it. And those that are streaming live, wherever you may be nationwide, always appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in. Coming up next, there was a player in the NFL who spoke out and voted no on the new potential 17-game season for the NFL. I'll tell you exactly who that is. That and much more, as always, with your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Second hour of the show already underway. Here with you till 9 a.m. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free From Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free From Radio. Here with you until 9 a.m. today. Yes, 3 hours. We're almost halfway through the show. Glad you're able to tune in and listen wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your morning. As for those that are just getting their morning started or just waking up and tuning into the radio, yes, this is a live show. And no, this is absolutely not taped. Live, you can call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I did say that I was going to announce some new details on the podcast that I have officially launched. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud and excited to announce that the Shukri Writes podcast is officially up and running. And you can listen to the podcast on demand. It's available on SoundCloud. And if you go to my Twitter page at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS, it's there. It's pinned onto my profile. My podcast is there. And I'm very excited to let you know that it's there to download. You can listen to it whenever, on demand, and so forth. Next episode of the new podcast should be coming either probably sometime early next week. So stay tuned for that. Plus, just keep in mind that as well as I'll also even announce it on the show when I'll be doing the episode and when it'll be available on SoundCloud as well. So that's just something to pass along as well. So again, the Shukri Writes podcast available now on SoundCloud only. I haven't sent it over to Apple yet for it to be available on Apple podcast, but however, that will happen in the very near future. So, God willing, hopefully everything continues to progress forward and doors will open. So for now, the podcast is available on SoundCloud. You can download it on your smartphones, whether you have Apple or Android. You can listen to it. It's there. It's posted. It was posted yesterday. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback so far, so good, which I'm very happy about. So only through the podcast you'll get to see a more unfiltered and as well as a raw feel of what my thoughts are and my emotions away from the radio and so forth. Hope you tune in and give it a listen. Give me a call. Let me know what you think and so forth. Just a quick programming note. I'll be back on the air on Saturday for my regular slotted show from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, as well as streaming all over the country on your TuneIn radio app as well. So I'll be back on after today, Saturday afternoon or evening, depending on how you, depending on what time your sunset is in your area, at 5 p.m. on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So there's been a lot of talk in regards to the NFL and this whole new idea of going to a 17th game this season. And I gotta tell you, I really like, for example, what Aaron Rodgers tweeted out. Well, not so much tweeted out, but rather posted on his Twitter feed last night. And this has to do with, in regards to, as I mentioned, the 17th game and the added benefits that would come along with it. So I'm going to read to you what he typed out. Quote, ready. "I voted no last night. My decision to vote no is based off of the conversations I've had with the men in my locker room that I'm tasked to represent. This deal will affect every player that ever plays this game, and we have made this decision with an abbreviated version of the deal, and that isn't good enough. Although I do see that there are many things in the proposal that would improve the lives and care for the past, present, and future NFL players, there are issues with others. 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear that the 17th game is about paying for the added benefits and had nothing to do with positive feedback received about any extra risk involved with the added regular season game. Also, an extra game for every second seed moving forward on wildcard weekend, i.e. the Green Bay Packers in 2019, which would have received no bye. There were also many issues raised about the workplace, the workload, and the offseason program. Some have been addressed, while others have not. With an extra game added to the schedule, added risk, and longer stretches before and after the bye week, we felt it was important to address adding more offseason recovery time. The ideas discussed would not add cost for teams. In fact, if anything, would lessen some of them. My involvement has been far less than the negotiating team, the EC, and the owners in these conversations. And I'm sensitive to that and appreciative of the time and sacrifices made. My involvement as a player rep and a 15-year player in this great game, though, allows me this platform to share my opinion, and at the same time, requires me to speak on behalf of the sentiment I hear from my teammates. The value of our players and the strength of the NFL Players Association can only be realized if we ourselves know and believe in our worth. I respect the democratic nature of this process and have been, and will continue to talk with my teammates on the Packers and my colleagues across the league. Unquote. That was Aaron Rodgers last night. Now, personally, how do I feel about the 17-game season? Frankly, I hate it. I hate the idea. Allow me to explain why. The reason why I hate it is because you're going to take what already is a pretty good product and water it down even furthermore. Like, listen, you already have players that are complaining about the fact that that their teams that are playing on a Thursday after having just played on that previous Sunday, which is, to me, completely insane. Like, for example, I feel like a team that played on Sunday, and Richard Sherman actually explained this very, very well a little while back, actually. A team that plays on Sunday, Monday you have your reviews and so forth, your defensive reviews. You need time to recover, and simply put, you only have, what, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to recover, and then you're playing again on Thursday? That's not enough. It's not enough time. And I got to tell you, I really understand where Aaron Rodgers is coming from. I do. And the reason in which I understand where he's coming from is, it's just the safety aspect in which that you're going to ask to play an extra game when 16 games is already an arduous schedule as is. No. Personally, I wouldn't want it. But that'd be more football to watch. It doesn't matter if the players are not playing up to the capability because of the lack of recovery time in order to prepare to play these games. No way. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. And the more that I think about it, and the more I really give more thought to it as I talk about this now, no. Dear NFL, your Thursday night package sucks. Not because of the network who's broadcasting the games, no. But because your schedule and decision makers, the very same people who schedule out all 32 teams playing on a Monday night or on a Sunday night, for the teams that are playing on a Sunday and then you're going to come back and ask them to play on a Thursday? No way. This isn't basketball. Hell, this isn't even hockey. There's a reason why your sport needs a full week to recover after getting physically beat up on Sundays and sometimes Mondays. There's a reason why the quality is low, because you're not getting the absolute best out of those players. And it only increases the risk of injury. That's all it's doing. So I respect and agree Aaron Rodgers immensely. But then, of course, you have the fans are, why are you complaining about one more game? It's more money for your pockets. Blah. Like, no. There's a bigger issue involved here. And Richard Sherman has talked about it himself. He's talked about this on more than one occasion. This isn't about the bottom line. There's a bigger problem at hand. And when is the NFL going to finally have some sort of sense to say, you know what? The owners may like this because it's more money for their pockets. To hell with the players or what they think. But the players, for once, are actually saying, no, we're not going to do this. In large part so far, the overwhelming response from the players has been, no, we're not agreeing to this. Which really has been the most surprising element in all of this so far, has been the pushback from the players. And that in itself is an eye-opener. It is. It's an eye-opener because the owners, they must have been thinking, well, and the players, they'll go along with it. Come on, it's a win-win. Come on, what could go wrong here? The players are saying no. And I'm bringing a whole different element and a whole different perspective into all of this. And that is, what good is it going to do any team across the league? You coming back from having to play on a Sunday and you're going to play again on a Thursday? Thursday night, not a fan of it. If it was maybe just like in November or a few select Thursdays in December, sure. But then now, you want to add a whole weekend dedicated to two or, in this case, it would be three wild card games, three on Saturday, three on Sunday? No. If it's not broken, why fix it? Dear NFL, I don't understand. I'd like for you to sincerely explain to me, what is the benefit? What is the benefit of going to 17 games? Okay, you've explained. Sort of. More money, more revenue, more TV money. Blah, 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 blah. I get it. I'm on the side of the players. And if simple-minded fans don't want to understand why this isn't a good idea, then they really should do some more research as to why this is actually a bad idea. And why I personally, I'm with the players on this one. This is not a good idea. No way. No way. I'm not with it. At all. It's now 7:30 a.m. sharp. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk about the Patriots and Tom Brady. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I can't wait. So, thanks for all of those who have tuned in so far. And that if you're just getting your day started, we're here with you live until 9 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, and as well as a TuneIn radio app. So if you're in rush hour morning traffic, making your way to work, listening in, much appreciated. Or if you happen to be in the area listening as well, always appreciated. Thank you so much. So coming up next, Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's going to be a lot of fun. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Touch Free Form Radio.
Son
los
ellos.
Mambo Kings.
¿Quién?
Los Mambo Kings.
Viste, yo te lo dije. ¿Quién soy yo?
Cero Luyan.
Ven, da un beso. Dale, dale para allá.
No quieren darte la oportunidad. Haces que me motives,
baby.
Y me provocas sin necesidad.
Oh.
Cuando estamos solos,
tú
me miras y me provocas.
Ah.
Me dejas tocar tu piel mientras te beso la boca.
Demasiado.
Quiero que se repita la ocasión. Quiero que tú repitas tu movimiento. Bebé, ¿qué tal si paramos el tiempo y bregamos con la situación? Quiero que se repita la ocasión. Quiero que se repita tu movimiento. Bebé, ¿qué tal si paramos el tiempo y mejor tenemos sexo?
Yo sé que estás consciente de lo que de ti me han dicho.
Oh, yeah.
Te gustan las mujeres, pero te encanta el bicho.
Wow.
Yo estoy claro de lo que de mí te han dicho.
Right.
Que lo tengo grande y que es bien rico, chicho. Y dale, métele, solo por capricho, sumétele. Motívate, agárralo con tu mano y verás que es algo sano. Dale para ti para atrás y súbete en el palo, ven, lúcete.
Hey.
No me hagas perder el tiempo. Dale, ven que me siento contento. Este bicho parece cemento.
Yo sé que a ti te gusta cuando hacemos el amor y prendemos en llamas juntos en la habitación.
Quiero que se repita la ocasión. Quiero que tú repitas tu movimiento. Bebé, ¿qué tal si paramos el tiempo y bregamos con la situación? Quiero que se repita la ocasión. Quiero que se repita tu movimiento. Bebé, ¿qué tal si paramos el tiempo y mejor tenemos sexo?
Y el Lucifer por dentro te lo voy a esconder. Real G fue la tatuado en mi piel. Fumando puré, chingando con 100 kilos en el hotel. Te la voy a comer, este bicho te va a poseer. Mis soldados se mueren por mí, 20,000 en mi cuello. Este bicho es dinero y poder. Tío, en percoseo te lo pongo en la boca y después te lo voy a meter. Yo tengo todas las Jordan, bebé, mi pistola es una 23. Me puse puse la infrarre porque tengo todas llenas de sangre la fre. Yo soy un demonio por dentro de tu cuerpo, tú vas a venirte otra vez. Yo te exploto la track y después hacemos la cabrona, se innova al revés. A mí me quieren matar, pero ella me chinga para atrás y me quita el estrés. Voy para y cobraba 1,000, después cobré 2,000, pero ahora estoy cobrando 3.
Haciéndolo contigo yo me crezco. Bien rico te lo voy entrando bien lento. Me grita Gizzy más duro. Y yo que soy un bellaco. Lambaro toda de crema y ese culo se lo paro.
Bella taquilla de sour. Fumando en la peli los towers. Tengo la vía directa, me llegan a casa los kilos de powder. Mi jeva le dijo a su amiga que soy un chulito y que chingo bien rico. Ahora se pasan en Nacha mandándome fotos del culo y el trico.
Ay, ma, tú dices conmigo quieres lucirte. Hacerme cosas malas y la demonia convertirte.
Yo arriba, tú abajo, yo abajo, tú arriba, tú encima, toda la noche en pagar.
Quiero que se repita la ocasión. Quiero que tú repitas tu movimiento. Bebé, ¿qué tal si paramos el tiempo y bregamos con la situación? Quiero que se repita la ocasión. Quiero que se repita tu movimiento. Bebé, ¿qué tal si paramos el tiempo y mejor tenemos sexo?
No sé por qué no quieren darte la oportunidad. Haces que me motives y me provocas sin necesidad. Cuando estamos solos, tú me miras y me provocas. Me dejas tocar tu piel mientras te beso la boca.
Una baby, de la GC, Howie, Anuel, díselo a Luyan, Mambo Kings,
Mambo Kings, Trap Kings, de la GC, homie. El creador, esta pendeja.
Como acá la madre del diablo.
Ando con los míos.
Los reyes con los dioses, oíste, bebé.
Bien duro.
Nosotros estamos encima de la pirámide de los Illuminati.
BF.
Ahora dime Spiff. Real hasta la muerte.
Elgenero.com.
MG Coldboy.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, as well as streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app, wherever you may be in the U.S., and streaming internationally on WMFO.org as well. Glad you're able to join in on this rainy Thursday morning, wherever you may be, however you may be commuting to work or wherever you're heading to this morning. Stay dry. Stay dry and don't try to do anything foolish, to say the least. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I've been on the air since 6 a.m. this morning. So in the midst of doing a three-hour show, just a little bit past the halfway mark. Now we're in the second half of the show. We talked about uncertainty being the theme in this program so far. Not to mention as well as the Red Sox. And then last segment discussing fully as to why I honestly think this whole idea of going to 17 games in the NFL season is just a bad idea. I explained that thoroughly during the last segment. So in this segment, I actually want to have a little fun with this because it's been a little bit more on the negative side, more than usual this morning, and I admit that. But today, I actually decided this will be a good idea. Let's have fun. Because we talked about the uncertainty facing New England in the Patriots in regards to Tom Brady. We talked about that, how there's an uncertainty hanging over the cloud of in Foxborough right now. And this has been a fascinating topic of discussion Because, frankly, I've said this before and I'll say it again, that that at some point we have to face this very reality that Brady may not return to New England in 2020. So, if in fact that does happen, my question to you is, who do you think the Patriots should go after in terms of a quarterback in case, and I have to also add this in here, in case of Jared Stidham is not the guy? Now, I just want to make a quick point on Jared Stidham, and I just want to point out the fact that I'm not one saying that Jared Stidham isn't the guy or isn't the right guy to take over and so forth. I'm not saying that he is either. But if we're jumping to conclusions based on one drive he had against the Jets in September and what was a blowout game at that time in that game, then, frankly, we really would be doing quite a disservice, to say the least. And that's saying a lot, because oftentimes, as fans tend to have one extreme reaction on either side of the spectrum. And that's just being completely honest. And, for example, Daniel Jones of the New York Giants had a terrific NFL debut against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you see the overreaction of Giant fans in the media in New York. Oh, my God, he's going to be the next great thing. He's gonna be terrific. But there was such severe overreactions that it was just like, what? After one game? And then the very next game, yeah, he was just got awful. The same can be applied to Jared Stidham. I'm not overreacting over the fact that he looked horrible against the Jets in their early season matchup at Foxborough. But what I am saying is this. What I am saying is, before we rush to judgment based on one game or one appearance, you may want to give the guy maybe a handful of games and then begin to give your early assessment. That's just the truth. So my whole thing is this now. Maybe Jared Stidham is the guy. I don't know. No one honestly knows except Bill Belichick, and that's it. But if they decide to look outside of the organization, who should the Patriots go after? Who should they consider? Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I just find it funny how there was one suggestion that was put out there. No, a legitimate one at that. There was one suggestion that was put out there in terms of Andy Dalton. And when I first heard this, I was like, you know, there are some things in life that you just cannot accept. Andy Dalton being your quarterback is one of those things. It's one of those things I cannot accept. I'm not sorry. I want nothing to do with Dalton as being the quarterback of the New England Patriots. No way. No way. No way. Listen, for the fact of the matter is this. Andy Dalton to come here and thinking that he's suddenly going to transform and just, I guess, metaphorically transform into the next great thing here in New England, it's just false advertisement. It's not going to happen. At this stage of his career, he is who he is. He is who he is. A loser, and frankly, a guy who's never won a playoff game. Not once. Go look at his numbers in the playoffs. It basically explains everything that you need to know. But even in terms of the regular season, he's okay. He had some okay years, but he's not great. I'm not even sure whether to put him as even remotely good. So no, I'm all out on Andy Dalton. Who else would you have in mind? How about Teddy Bridgewater? Now, this one is interesting because Teddy Bridgewater has always been a guy who I viewed as he's a legitimate starter. Listen, prior to that horrific leg injury he had in Minnesota, he was a pretty good starting quarterback for the Vikings. He was. And then when Drew Brees went down this season, he stepped in and did very well and performed at a high level for 5 games. And part of the reason why the Saints were able to maintain good level in terms of competing for either one of the two top seeds in the NFC. However, Drew Brees has announced he is returning. And that makes me wonder, is Teddy Bridgewater going to return? And the answer is all likelihood, no. Because Drew Brees is the guy. He's their guy. No harm, no foul. Team that may be looking for a new quarterback? It's the Patriots. Maybe. It may be the Patriots. Maybe. And I mean maybe. If Brady doesn't return. So again, for the sole purpose of this segment, if the Patriots do not bring back Brady or Brady walks away, who do you think the Patriots should go after at quarterback? Teddy Bridgewater is one name that comes to mind, but I will say this, though. And it's very important to point this out. The new league year begins on March 18th. It's when free agency officially begins. So, right now, if you're the Patriots, I think you really should be knocking on the door of Brady and saying, hey, we kind of want to know what you're going to do because it's a couple of really good names we can go after. Teddy Bridgewater is one of them. And frankly, I don't see why not. I don't see why he wouldn't be a pretty good viable option as a starter here in New England. I think he'd do very well, especially in Bill Belichick's offense. Absolutely. That's one name. Another name? Well, another name that comes to mind is this. Ryan Tannehill, personally, would I want him on the Patriots? No. But the fact that the Titans are even hardly after Tom Brady tells me that they don't really value Tannehill and what he can do. But let's also face it as well. When you have a running back as good as Derrick Henry, you're not looking for a quarterback to light up the scoreboard. You're just looking for a quarterback that can be a game manager. That's just the truth. So my whole thing is this. If you're New England, are you looking for the same thing in Tannehill? Just be a game manager? Because if you're looking for a quarterback to be a game manager, then you're going to need to beef up your running game. Because let's face it, you don't know what you're going to get out of Sony Michel. Because he did have a down year last year. He did. So that remains to be seen as to what the Patriots do in terms of who are they eyeing at quarterback. I think it's something fascinating. And it's something fascinating to really think about, to ponder. And the best part about it is that free agency hasn't even begun yet. And that's something that I also keep coming back to when I think about it, considering that right now, because all of this is just speculations and rumors and so forth. But another name I want to bring up is Dak Prescott. Now, this one is the most intriguing option. And I say this because right now, Dallas is about to go into a contractual war with Dak Prescott. He is. He is asking for $40 million per season. And then you already have people like Emmitt Smith, Skip Bayless, saying, he should take less. He should take less than that. I'm sorry, you're telling another grown man to count his chicken? You count another grown man's chicken for him? No. I don't think that's going to sit well. And for the fact that, and let's just play devil's advocate for a moment. If Dak Prescott walks out, there is a real chance he could do that as well. Very real chance. And I'm going to take it a step further. The Cowboys have been one of the teams that have been in on the Tom Brady sweepstakes, saying, hey, Jerry Jones, hey, Tom Brady, come on down to Dallas. We can talk business over some good old sirloin steak for dinner tonight. How's that sound? You want to be a Dallas Cowboy? I'm telling you, because it's gonna get nasty in Dallas if it hasn't already. You have former Cowboys and Hall of Famers telling Prescott to take less money for the team. How I feel about Prescott being paid less than $40 million is completely besides the point right now. But the fact that that Prescott is actually a legitimate possibility, amazing. So my question to you is this, Patriot fans. Would you consider Teddy Bridgewater or Dak Prescott if Brady does not return to New England? I'm going to ask that very same question on Twitter and see what kind of response I get. I'm serious. I'm actually dead serious. And I'm going to share with you the results of that Twitter poll. Just for fun sakes. Because, and I know the thoughts of Patriot fans are they're probably going through like, no, Brady will be back. But there is a chance that he won't be back as well. And this is something that has to be discussed. It has to be talked about. So, in the meanwhile, we're going to have a lot of fun with that. And between now and March 17th, oh, man, let the fun games begin. And it's only going to get worse as we get closer to March 17th, because that's when his contract officially expires. Phone lines are open here with you till 9 a.m. on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's been a lot of fun, I gotta admit. These first couple of hours have been entertaining, insightful, thoughtful. And hour number three, who knows what hour number three will bring? Gotta tune in to find out. Coming up next, what should I really think when it comes to the Boston Bruins right about now? Because the last couple of games, they have gotten their behinds handed to them. Should I be concerned? Should I not be concerned? Phone lines are open, as I mentioned. 855-915-WMFO, 855-9636. Coming up next, hour number three of the Strictly Right Show, Rush Hour Edition, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. If you're stuck in traffic, feel free to call in and whatnot. Looking forward to talking with you, the listener, as we have a lot to get into between now and 9 o'clock. So, coming up next, should I be concerned about the Bruins, especially after the last couple of games? Or is this a sign of things to come? That and much more coming up next on the Strictly Right Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio.
Tú estás buena, bebé, y sin mandarte a hacer. Quiero fumar y darte hasta el amanecer. Te juro que me gusta todo de ti, todo de ti. Pero lo que me mata es cuando pones cara de bellaca. Se besa con la amiga y no son patas. Fina, pero en la cama tremenda sata. Yeah.
Y lo que a mí me mata es cuando pones cara de bellaca. Tú misma bajes y peli lo saca. Fina, pero en la cama.
Me bebí un jarabe que es pa' la tos. Le pedí una amiguita y me trajo dos. Le metí toda la noche a lo nivel Dios. Me llegó el regalo adelantado de Santa Claus.
Wow.
Fuerte, no fue golpe de suerte. No. Le di una pastilla y se puso indecente.
Loquita.
Aunque media loquita la demente. Le enseñé este bicho y se puso coherente.
Por eso ella siempre me llama. Cada vez que ella está sola. Cuando llego me lo mama. Mi rico no importa la hora. Siempre se me manifiesta. Luego tomamos una siesta. Despertamos y se me trepa encima. Y pa' hacerlo de nuevo se presta.
Mi baby es una atrevida. Quiere chingar conmigo de por vida. El novio un par de veces se la pegó. Porque ese cabrón la tenía aburrida. Siempre que la llamo le llega enseguida. Todo lo que me gusta nunca se le olvida. Quiere que te diga. Ella va a ser leal a este bicho. Mientras el cabrón tenga vida. Se toca y me baila. Si anda con la amiga, digo que la traiga. Pone el teléfono en modo de avión pa' que nunca le suene y no se me distraiga. Siempre echamos más de uno, se envuelve en el humo, fuma si yo fumo. La baby dice que no es pata, pero le encantan los dos pa' uno.
Todos los trucos ya se lo sabe, chingando tiene la clave. Que los dos pensamos iguales y en la cama todo se vale. Es una diabla, que nada más piensa en mí cuando está.
Cuando pone cara de bellaca, se besa con la amiga y no son patas. Fina, pero en la cama tremenda sata. Yeah.
Y lo que a mí me mata es cuando pone cara de bellaca. Tú misma bajes y peli lo saca. Fina, pero en la cama tremenda sata.
Hoy se va a torturar, baby, tu cuerpo es un mural. Ese culote natural, yo te lo quiero inaugurar. Como un despulch, esta noche yo te voy a depurar. ¿Cuánto tú me vas a durar? Ese totito y yo te lo voy a saturar. Tú eres una enferma y este bicho es el único que te va a curar.
Yo sé que a ti y a la amiga tuya también le encantan el pi. Ustedes hacen trisones con cojones, ya casi parece el pi. Baby, en mi chale hay Russell B. Hoy te lo voy a meter completo hasta que te llegue a la pelvis. A tu ex cuando yo lo vi lo puse a correr con la reta del prebi.
Todas las 12, un file y ojito chiquito, nadie las conoce. Una es como Rihanna, la otra es Amber Rose. Lista con ser atrevida. Loca con que una la otra la roce. Se pasa metida en newborn buscando aprenderse todita la pose. Me lo chupa y no para hasta que acaba. Le da grajeo con la lengua y nevaba. Si Philly dijo que no se arrebataba cuando tiene relaciones, yo mismo la que se graba. Vive viajando en éxtasis. Tú la ves por la red y no se ve así. Yo que soy un bellaco desde que nací. Le invité pa' hacer un trío y las dos dijeron que sí. El sexo vayó él. Exceso de placer. No sé si va a poder con todas las poses que le voy a hacer. Hoy nos vamos a joder. Apenas empecé. Yo uso contigo como mismo uso de la tramadol y la
percocé. Lo que a mí me mata es cuando pones cara de bellaca. Tú misma bajes y peli lo saca. Fina, pero en la cama tremenda sata.
Dice Game Changer.
Si tu amiga y no puede, busco otra que diga que sí. Y se besan entre sí. Luego hacen las 6-9. Las dos se tocan y llueven. Las pongo a fumar pa' que se eleven. Baby, cumple mi fantasía. O es que tú no te atreves.
Llegó tu Roberto Clemente. También tu Chayanne. Yo soy tu pirata. Quiero fumar con tu gata.
baby, yo cacho las libras de cuchi barata. Bajo con la aguja y la bata y te